You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
How many times do you forgive someone who has hurt you? Listen to the new math. 70 times, 7 times.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus, give us the grace of forgiveness. Forgive our sins, and help us to forgive those who sin against us. Renew our lives with your forgiveness, that we may learn not to rake up old scores, but rather to live by forgiveness, with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. In the United States, there's been a great deal of controversy over a new method of teaching mathematics to children. A good way to start a red-hot argument was to criticize or to defend what is popularly called the new math. Actually, the new math did not change mathematics at all. 2 times 2 was still 4, and 4 divided by 2 was still 2. The new math was just a way of talking about the old math. Jesus Christ was presented with a mathematical question by one of his disciples, Peter, who came to him and said, "Lord, if my brother keeps sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? 7 times? The Lord gave him a mathematical answer. It was a new principle, not just a new method, a brand new math. "No, not 7 times, answered Jesus, but 70 times 7. That's a new math in human affairs. It's not just a new way of looking at things, but a new way of doing things. The world does not do things that way. This math is against everything the world stands for. It is contrary to common sense. Some people would say it is foolhardy idealism. Both religious and non-religious people are inclined to think of such a suggestion, such advice, such a program as utopian, unworkable, and not to be taken seriously. It is worse than new math, whatever that is, and they are against it. When it comes right down to it, the teaching of Christ about forgiveness is the only real answer to the problems of the world. It is the only real solution to the difficulties of humanity and to the breakdown of human relations all over the place. It is a statement of the impossibility of the ordinary human solutions on ordinary levels where those solutions are generally sought, and the necessity of seeking a real solution in the area where people never look, to God and to His grace. People always wind up thinking in terms of quotas. They want to be fair. Actually, quotas are never fair. They fail to take into account a lot of things, and sometimes are the basis of the greatest injustices. Yet quotas are all that people have in order to produce something fair, as they say. Like if your brother sins against you 7 times, should you forgive him all 7 times? Isn't 7 enough? Or isn't it probably too much? The world is filled today with festering sores that simply cannot be solved by the old math of raking up old scores. Nations cannot forgive and forget any more than people can forgive and forget. It goes against the human grain to forgive and forget. It isn't fair, people say, because you have to remember the old bruises. And maybe someday the opportunity will arise to repay in kind, inflicting some bruises yourself. It is a satisfying thought. In the meantime, the sores continue to fester and finally come to a boil. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness does not come naturally, and therefore it is not easy. Forgiveness does not make sense to people who live in one way or another by the sword. You have to take care of number one, which is yourself. Forgiveness does not fit into that pattern, and therefore is not easy. It is not easy to forgive someone who has cheated you or outwitted you. The cheater may not be sorry enough to suit you, or the suspicion may exist that he's not really sorry at all, even though he says, "I am sorry." This business of being sorry may be just a ploy, a way of cheating you again. Therefore, you've got to be on your guard. Forgiveness is not easy. To people who have never been forgiven and feel that they do not need to be forgiven themselves, forgiveness could just be impossible, in spite of the plain fact that only forgiveness can produce a solution. It will still be impossible because people cannot bring themselves to forgive if the possibility exists, the remote possibility that some other solution can be found which will be more practical or personally satisfying or more in line with life as it is in the world all around us. I've known parents who could not forgive their children, even the first time. I've known children who could not forgive their parents, even one little mistake, not to speak about seven. I wish I could tell you how many letters I get every week from mothers-in-law who would like to make up with their daughters-in-law and are unable to do so because of the impossibility of forgiveness. Neither one can admit the possibility that she made the first mistake. Neither one trusts the other when she says, "I am sorry." And neither one is capable of generously extending forgiveness with an open heart, conscious of shortcomings, asking forgiveness, and being willing to accept forgiveness from the other. To break this syndrome of destruction, Christ came. The heart of redemption is forgiveness. People don't want forgiveness because they don't need forgiveness. This is just as true of religious people as it is of non-religious people. Everybody needs forgiveness, of course, except them. They don't need it. That kind of righteousness, which is really self-righteousness, is the curse of humanity. Christ came to change all of that. It is the heart of what he did. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the good news of God, tells us that Christ died for the sins of everyone. Everyone has sinned, and for that sin, Christ died. He took that sin into his own heart. Even the sin of holding off God at arm's length and doing the same thing to family, friends, and foes, he did what is humanly impossible. He died for our sins. This is humanity at its very best and its very greatest. In all his humanity, which is our humanity, Christ died, although he was without sin himself. This he did out of a pure love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. "You are my friends," said Christ. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us because he is our friend. Christ is your friend and my friend. He died for us, and he atoned for our sins. The only hope for a new beginning is Jesus Christ. When I say he is the only hope, I mean he is the only hope. There's no hope in the conquest of good over evil, as some people seem to hope. Good that has conquered turns out to be rubbish in the hands of people who are themselves sinners, turned off on God and capable of the greatest inhumanity toward their neighbors. I guess that's why a man who has achieved great political importance said to me not long ago The world's only hope is Jesus Christ. That's the same as saying the world's only hope is God. God has shown his hand to the world in his Son, Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. And for the sake of Christ, God forgives. Only God can forgive. Only he forgives and forgets, which is the only true forgiveness. We cannot forgive ourselves, hard as we may try. That's impossible. Only God can forgive. He does just that for the sake of his Son, who died for our sins. In forgiveness, God overcomes. Forgiveness is a divine thing, as marvelous as the death of Christ for our sins, because he died for all of us in all obedience to his Father. He has been given a name above every name, that every tongue may call him Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In him, divine forgiveness. This is a new way. It's not just a new way of looking at things. It is a new way of doing things. It is a new life, to be forgiven by God and to be freed of the old math, where 2 times 2 equals 4, and the evil has to be repaid with evil. You've just got to admit that it's a new life to be freed of the old and deadly principle of doing someone else in before he does you in. It means taking it on the chin, as Christ took it on the chin for all of us. Coming back for more with a smile, something like the smile of God's forgiveness, which fortunately for every one of us is limitless. How many times will I have to forgive my brother if he keeps on sinning against me? Asked Peter. 7 times, maybe? Jesus answered, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. That's impossible. Without the new life in Christ, with Christ, it is just as real, practical, and possible as the death of Christ for your sins and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for your justification before God, that you may stand before him forgiven. If Christ was not raised from the dead, of course, it is impossible, and there is no hope. But now has Christ been raised from the dead and become the first fruits of a whole new crop that is coming in, a new breed with a new hope, great enough and deep enough to be able to forgive, even though otherwise it would be impossible. The new math of forgiveness from father to son and from mother to daughter, or even from daughter-in-law to mother-in-law, is 70 times 7. We can all understand that kind of language because it is our language. It is not legal language like the language of lawyers, where 70 times 7 times would turn out to be 490 times. This is the language of humanity, which we all understand, and we know what it means. It means that forgiveness cannot have any limits at all, none at all. It is like the forgiveness of God. It has to be limitless, or it will not be forgiveness. That's the way God forgives. And that's the way he expects us to forgive. It's the only hope our world has. We cannot pay back God, and we cannot live by the rule of paying back one another. It won't work. We shall never come out even. The Lord illustrated this fact when he said, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times, because the kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who decided to check on his servants' accounts. He had just begun to do so when one of them was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. The servant did not have enough to pay his debt, so the king ordered him to be sold as a slave with his wife and his children and all that he had in order to pay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before the king. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you everything. The king felt sorry for him, so he forgave him the debt and let him go. Then the man went out and met one of his fellow servants who owed him a few dollars. He grabbed him and started choking him. Pay back what you owe me, he said. His fellow servant fell down and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he had him thrown into jail until he should pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were very upset and went to the king and told him everything. So he called the servant in. "You worthless slave," he said. "I forgave you the whole amount you owed me just because you asked me to. You should have had mercy on your own servant just as I had mercy on you." The king was very angry, and he sent the servant to jail to be punished until he should pay back the whole amount. And Jesus concluded, "That is how my Father in heaven will treat every one of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Forgiveness must be given. It cannot be earned. It must be given. It is not deserved. It can only be received. Accepting forgiveness is just as hard as giving forgiveness. Unforgiving people are people who have never accepted forgiveness for themselves. They don't trust God to forgive them, and they don't trust themselves to forgive others. It's a source of pride to them that they are hardliners. Those hardliners are the ones who destroy themselves and keep the world going on the road to disaster, not knowing God and His grace. They cannot know themselves for what they are. Not knowing themselves for what they are, they cannot possibly bring themselves to do what God does and what He calls upon everyone to do, to forgive. To forgive 70 times, seven times. The new math of forgiveness is the only hope for our world. It's the only hope for you, my friend, that you may have a truly satisfying life. Satisfaction comes not from getting even, but from living together in the grace of God, who forgives purely out of the goodness of His heart. By the grace of God, that new goodness shows up in the lives of people, with acceptance of forgiveness from God, bringing a new power, a new capability, a new heart, willing and ready to forgive. It takes faith to do that. Faith in God. It also takes love, by which true faith in God does its work, like the love of God Himself, who first loved us and gave His Son to be a sacrifice for our sins, so that we might learn how to forgive the sins of others. With faith and love that are in Christ Jesus and in Him alone, out of His great love wherewith He has loved us, learn to say one of the greatest things you will ever say in your lifetime: "I am sorry." Along with that, learn the great art of forgiveness, to be able to say to one who is sorry and has hurt you, "I forgive you." Do that with grace, accepting with grace what God says to you in Jesus Christ, His Son: "I forgive you." It's not easy, God knows. God knows. His Son, Jesus Christ, knows. It is possible by the grace of God. Christ knows. Not seven times, but 70 times, seven times. Amen.